From Dublin, Texas, Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you this morning to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
What we have here is a picture of Joseph's fruitful bough going over the wall of his house and reproducing his life into other people. And I want to tell you, it begins with your family. You know that I look at Scripture and I notice often just the repercussions of my sin and also the reward of my righteousness. The promise is that you're going to reproduce your life. But you'll either reproduce the fruit of the Spirit or the deeds of the flesh.
Living on Every Word.
Living on Every Word.
If you have your Bibles, if you turn to Genesis chapter 49, we are in a series on the names of God, and we've been looking at Jehovah Shammah, the God who is present. Jehovah meaning I am, Shammah meaning present. I am present in your life. Moses said, Lord, we want your presence. We saw that last week. If your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us. For if you don't go with us, how will we have favor with you? And then how will we be distinguished from the rest of the world? The thought is that when God is present in your life, God says, listen, I am going to give you rest, and you are going to be distinguished from the rest of the world. Last week, we began to look at a man named Joseph, who was distinguished, the Scripture says, among his brothers. Here is a man who the Scripture says that God was with. We see this in Scripture last week. We saw it in three different passages of Scripture. We saw it when Potiphar, his master, saw him. And then we see the jailer seeing the presence of God upon him in Genesis chapter 39, verses 21 through 23. And then we saw Pharaoh seeing the presence of God on this young man. Now I want to stop here for a minute. I want to ask this question. If your son or your daughter was taken captive by some nation that came in and drug them away to another country, I want to ask you, would that country see the presence of God on their lives because of your influence and your fruit that comes forth from your life? Would they see the presence of God? Here's a guy that was drug off to another country in a pagan land, and I want to tell you, he's the only believer. He's the only believer in Egypt. And yet, who sees the presence of God, everybody, that he comes in contact with? His master, the jailer, the king sees the presence of God in his life. They know that God is with him. And I want to tell you, if Jesus Christ is in your life, you have Jehovah Shammah. And if Jehovah Shammah is truly present, I am present in your life, then you ought to be distinguished from the rest of the world. And I'm asking you, church, are you distinguished? Is your marriage distinguished today from the rest of the world? Or does it look like every other marriage in the world? Do you respond in a distinguishing manner according to the Word of God, according to the gospel of Christ, according to His power in His life? Is God's presence in your life? And what about in your home? Is God's presence in your home? Or do you go from your home and you live a life that everybody thinks you're just grand? It's what some people call image management. Look good to everybody else. But I come home and I look rotten. Are you distinguished today by the presence of God? See, not only Potiphar or the jailer or Pharaoh saw the presence of God in Joseph's life, but we know that his father saw the presence in Joseph's life. And you look at this in Genesis chapter 49, verse 22. Jacob is speaking blessings upon his children. And he comes down to Joseph. I'm going to tell you, God's presence has been on his life. And this is what Jacob, his dad, says about him. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Now, bough's a branch, right? That's what a bough is. And he says it's a fruitful branch by a spring. Its branches run over a wall. The archers bitterly attacked him and shot him and harassed him, but his bow remained firm and his arms were agile from the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Notice two things automatically. Number one, God's presence is upon Joseph. That's been established. We established that last week. We see that through these passages of Scripture. And when God's presence is on your life, there's a couple things that happen. Number one, you become fruitful. That's what he says. He's a fruitful bough. The second thing in this passage of Scripture is that he's victorious. Even when the archers came and bitterly attacked him, the Bible says that God was with him. And when God was with him, made his arms agile and strong, and he was victorious. Notice the third principle here. He says, it's verse 25, from the God of your father who helps you or is strengthening you. When God's presence is in your life, you're fruitful, you're victorious, and you're always being strengthened. Isn't that something? In those days of heartache, in those days of struggle, you wake up and you say, you know what? I've gotten through this. I've gotten through it. Okay. And you remember and you notice it's been God who has been strengthening you. It's been God who has been with you. We see in this next verse of Scripture that he was blessed. When God's presence is upon your life, you receive the blessings of God. Verse 25, and by the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lie beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb, blessings of your father have surpassed the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. May they be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of the one, watch this, distinguished among his brothers. Distinguished. Why? The suggestion is it's because Jehovah Shammah rested upon his life. The presence of God was all over him. He sees God all over him because he knows. He's seen the presence. He's experienced the presence. And here's this Joseph, his son, who's got this presence of God all over him. He comes to an end of his life and he says, my son Joseph, a fruitful bough. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. See, when God's presence is on your life, last week we said that there is rest in your heart, and then second, you're distinguished. When God's in your life, you're fruitful. You're fruitful. Now, God always gives us a vision of what we're supposed to look like. Did you know that? God always gives us a vision, and God gave a vision to Joseph in Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. Go on and turn there now. Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. Now Jacob lived in the land where his father had sojourned, in the land of Canaan. And these are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph was 17 years of age and was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, the father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now just, you know, bad report, what does that mean? It just simply means that they weren't taking care of family business. And the integrity of Joseph was this: we've got to take care of family business. And you're not doing that. And it's not like he's some tattletale. It's just he has an integrity about him that you'll see that says we got to do things right. And we're not doing things right. And so in the event, he brings a bad report to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a very colored tunic or a robe, a full-length robe. And this robe's a robe of honor. And so his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. And he said to them, please listen to this dream which I've had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. And then his brother said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now he still had another dream, and he related to his brothers and said, lo, I have had still another dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. And he related to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow down before you to the ground? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. And isn't it interesting? Did Joseph interpret his dream? No. He didn't interpret his dream. He's just telling the dreams he had. Who interpreted it? His brothers interpreted it. His dad interpreted it. So he didn't have to say, yeah, that's what I thought the dream meant. There's no prideful arrogance in this, son. He's just saying, listen, I had an interesting dream. Listen to it. And they jumped to the conclusion. They jumped to the conclusion. By the way, it's the right conclusion. Yeah, he's going to rule over you. He's going to reign over you. But he's not going to rule and reign over you with a thumb on you. He's going to love you one day. That's how he's going to rule and he's going to reign. He's going to love you. What's interesting about this is that God gives him this vision of ruling and reigning. Now, when you look at Joseph's life, The suggestion is that as he rules and reigns, he's really portraying Christ-likeness. He's really portraying the fruit of the Spirit in all the areas of his life. And let me give you a couple. We looked at a couple of last week, we mentioned a couple. I want us to study them today. Look at Genesis chapter 39, if you would, verse 1. See, this fruit is the fruit of character. When Jacob said, "You're a fruitful branch," he was talking about the character of his life. And he was distinguished among all of his brothers because of his character. And this is what will distinguish you, church. It'll be your character that comes forth from your life. Not your giftedness. Not because you can teach. Not because you can give. Not because you can serve. You'll be distinguished because of the character of Christ in your life. Bottom line. We know lots of people who could preach great sermons, teach great Sunday school classes. You've seen them. You've seen them on television that lacked in the character of Christ. That's why he says, many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We preached great messages, Lord. We healed in your name. We did all these miracles in your name. We cast out demons in your name." And he'll say to them, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You didn't have this kind of lifestyle coming forth from your heart in your life." What Joseph is portraying and the suggestion is the fruitfulness of character found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, where he walked in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. We see this mark of self-control in this passage of Scripture. Notice what it says in verse 1. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, so that he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, became his personal servant, made him overseer of his house, and all that he had owned and put in his charge. And it came about that from the time he made him overseer in the house, and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. And Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Now I know what some of you businessmen are thinking. Lord, can you send me a couple employees like him? Well, how about you become an employer like him? Wow. God's with him in all that he does. The world sees it. The employer sees it. The master sees it. Says, "Look, I don't have to concern. All I gotta do is come home and eat. I know everything's gonna be taken care of." What a faithful servant. See, faithfulness through the Spirit. A faithful man, a faithful servant. Notice, it came about after these events, verse 7, that his wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." Now here comes an arrow. Okay, here comes an arrow from the enemy. Okay? An arrow to cheapen this tree. An arrow to defile it. To defile the heart. She comes to him. "Lie with me." But he refused. And he said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. He has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I. And he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife." Watch this. "How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Let me ask you this question. I know there's some of you that you've got some verses on your refrigerator. We call them refrigerator verses. I bet you there's not one person who has this on their refrigerator. You know why? Because it needs to be right here on the forehead of your head and your mind. It needs to be on your hand. It needs to be written in your heart. So that when the arrow flies at you with any kind of evil thought, and it doesn't just have to be sensual or sexual, but when that arrow comes, there's this immediate thought, not to please the carton, not "all that looks good, oh, I wish I could participate in that," but comes the character of a love for God that says, "How in the world could I do this against my great God? How could I do this great evil and sin against God?" You know, I want to challenge you. Memorize this verse. Memorize this phrase. And I'm going to tell you, the Word of God will come to life the next time the arrow pierces your mind, pierces your heart, comes to tempt you to do something that you know you're not supposed to be participating with and doing. Joseph had such a love for his God and such an integrity for God, for God's integrity and God's character, that he says, no way. Here's this guy, this only believer in all of Egypt, who refuses to fall to the arrow of the enemy. I want to suggest to you that it's the fruit of self-control, but it's also the fruit of love that says, I love God with all my heart, my mind, and my soul, and my strength. How could I do this evil deed against this God, my God, who's always been with me, who has blessed me with all these things? How could I even think the thought of lying with you, woman, much less lying with you? Because of my God of integrity. But that just doesn't stop there. It's just not. That's just not the only arrow. Notice what it says. It came about. Verse 10, as she spoke to Joseph day after day, that he did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. And it happened one day that when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household were inside, as she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled and went outside. And you know the rest of the story. No way, no how will I ever walk in this sin. Even though I've been sold into slavery, even though my brothers did me wrong, even though the God of my father has forsaken me, even though he might have thought that, no way, I'm going to remain the same. I'm going to be the same man that I was, and I'm going to continue to grow in my faith, just continue to say no, 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 no to sin. It is the fruitfulness of character. When Jacob says, you've been a fruitful bough, you know what it says? You make us so proud. You make the household of God look good, not evil. You don't make God look bad. You make Him look so good that we want this tree. We want to be a part of this tree. We want to be a part of this life. We want to be a part of this church. We want to spend time with you to see, why is your marriage look like this all the time? God is with you. That's why. It is this fruitfulness. We see this fruitful tree in Galatians 5:22. We see it also in Matthew chapter 7. It's interesting. You also see it in Genesis chapter 45. Go into there. And we come to the point in Joseph's life where his brothers have come and he reveals himself to him. And I want you to notice what happens. Joseph, verse 1, could not control himself before all those who had stood by him, and he cried, have everyone go out from here. So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. Now, you've got to understand the story, and if you're not familiar with this story, Joseph has been sold into slavery. He's succeeding. He comes to be the second in command of Pharaoh. He's in charge of all the grain. There's a famine going on in the land. It's been going on 2 years. His brothers come for food. And when his brothers come for food, Joseph is kind of playing with them a little bit. He finally reveals himself to him. And the scripture says that when he makes himself known to his brothers, look at verse 2, he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer, and he said, I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was a brother, I'd be kind of scared right now. I am Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Verse 5, and now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there'll be 5 more years of it. There'll be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now therefore, watch this, it was not you who sent me here, but God. It's not you who did that to me. God had a hand in it. When I have the idea of a sovereign God who's in control of all things, then I can never ever walk in anger or bitterness or self-pity. And he refuses to do that today because of the sovereign work of God. You say, well, what about the choice? Yeah, they choice. Yeah, they were responsible for that. But it doesn't negate the sovereign work of God in your life. And he is saying in one swoop, listen, Don't be angry at yourself. I'm not angry. Don't be grieved. I'm not grieved. God has been a part of this. God has been doing this. God has allowed this to happen. Matter of fact, God even sent me here. It's God's work. Notice what he says to him, verse 9. Hurry up. Go get my father. Say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You'll live in the land of Goshen. That's the best of the land. You're going to live in the land of Goshen. You're going to be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. Therefore, I'm going to provide for you because there's still 5 years of famine to come, lest you and your household and all that you have be impoverished. And behold, your eyes will see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth which is speaking to you. Now you must tell my father all of my splendor in Egypt and all that you have seen, and you must hurry and bring my father down here. Now watch. And then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and he wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck, and he kissed all his brothers, and he wept on them. And afterwards, his brother talked with him. He wept over his brothers. It's the character. It's the character of love that is pouring out of his life that says, you did this, but I want you near me. I want you with me. Folks, isn't that Jesus? Yeah, you crucified me. Yeah, you've sinned. Yeah, you've blown it in your life. Yeah, you've blown it in friendships. Yeah, you've walked in anger. You've walked in lust. You've done these things. I want you. I want you with me. I'm going to give you the best of the land. I'm going to let you live in the best land because I want to be near you. I want to be Jehovah Shammah in your life. I want to be present in your life. I want to be there for you. I want to be there in you. Folks, when you reflect Jehovah Shammah, you'll do the same thing Joseph did, and you'll reflect him by the character of love, the character of self-control, the character of peace and kindness and patience. Did you see patience on him? Did you see the joy of the Lord on him? Did you see the gentleness on him? Did you see all those things? You saw Jesus. It's the fruit of character. We look at it through all the Scripture. By being in the presence of God. Folks, Jacob said, you are a fruitful bough. You're fruitful. And when God says that about you, I'm going to guarantee you this is what you look like. I want to ask you, church, are you looking like this today? Are you really, really looking like it? When you look at this fruitfulness, it is not only the fruitfulness of character, but it's the fruitfulness of reproduction. In other words, as a result of you looking like this, other people begin to look like this in your lives. Your children, your sons, your daughters, your grandkids, the people at work, the people that you lead to Christ, the people that you love, the people that even hate you. There's this reproducing life in you that says, yeah, I've got this character. God has set me free. But it's not just to keep it. It's to give it away. And so, Jacob says of his son, you are a fruitful bough and you extend over the wall. You just don't keep it to yourself, but you're reproducing in other people's lives. It's because of this lifestyle of fruitfulness that comes from your life. Joseph was a fruitful bough that extended over the wall. It begins with your family. Do you know that? It begins with your sons and your daughters. It begins with your grandchildren. It begins with those God has entrusted that you're seeing this produced, not only in your life, but the lives of the people around you. Go to Genesis chapter 41, if you would. We'll close with this passage of Scripture. Genesis chapter 41, verse 50. Notice what he says. Now before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. And Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh. Now the word Manasseh means to forget. Do you know that's what God did when he forgave you? But this is what he says. I'm naming Manasseh because God has made me forget all my trouble in my father's household. All the trouble, all the grief, all the heartache, I've forgotten. This child that God has given to me is a reminder. Is a reminder of that. Then he had another son. And he named the second son Ephraim. And he says, for God has made me fruitful in the land of affliction. You know what Ephraim means? It means double fruit. Not single fruit, double fruit. What we have here is a picture of Joseph's fruitful bough going over the wall of his house and reproducing his life into other people, into a pagan, lost nation called Egypt. And I want to tell you, it begins with your family. Do you know that I look at Scripture and I notice often just the repercussions of my sin and also the reward of my righteousness? Notice what it says in Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 5. He says, "You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth, beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I visit the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but show loving kindness to the thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." What is the promise here? The promise is that you're going to reproduce your life. You're going to do it. But you'll either reproduce the fruit of the Spirit or the deeds of the flesh. Consider Jonathan Edwards and his family line. 300 in his family line became pastors, missionaries, theological professors. 120 were professors of various universities. 110 became attorneys. 60 were prominent authors. 14 served as presidents of colleges and universities. 3 served in the U.S. Congress. 1 became vice president of the United States. Consider the family line of another family living at that day called the Jukes family. 440 were physically wrecked by their own wickedness. 310 were professional paupers. 130 were convicted criminals. 60 were habitual thieves. 55 were victims of impurity. And 7 were murderers. The fruit of the Spirit. Jonathan Edwards, that great preacher of the revivals of America in the 1700s, who not only preached it, but he lived it. And look at his family line. Reproducing a fruit, a fruitful bough over the wall. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Why was he a fruitful bough? Because God was with him. Jehovah Shammah. I'm with you. I'm with you to be fruitful, so that you're fruitful and you're multiplying. Now sometimes, you know, We necessarily may not know the effect that we have in other people's lives. The reproducing fruit may not be evidenced immediately. But there's going to be a day one day when we'll stand before the living God and we'll know. We'll know. Today is a day to become fruitful for God. To see the fruit of the Spirit come forth from your life. You know, today you'll go home and some of you, most of you, will think about this message. You'll get up in the morning and you'll start worrying and walk in anxiety and you'll forget. Don't forget. Just remember one thing. Jehovah Shammah. I'm with you. I'm present. I'm present that you might bear the fruit of the Spirit. And that it might be the fruit of character and it might be the fruit of reproduction by which other men and other women, other marriages, other sons and daughters are being affected because of your fruit. A fruitful bough. Perhaps you're here today and say, you know what? I've been fruitless. Not only have I been fruitless, I've borne bad fruit. Today God comes to thee with the conviction of my heart that says, I want to be the woman, the man, the husband, the wife, the son, the daughter that you have called me to be, Lord. Jesus, the fruit giver, the seed planter. Would you turn to Him today and see the fruit of the Spirit come forth from your life?
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Just